when you will come unto me, I will set you free. I've broken the curse off of you. I've opened the doors before you. I've said, come out, come out, come out from the prison. For I have set your feet on the solid rock. And I have brought you out to be a light to the nations. Oh, thank you, God. Oh, seek after me, says the Lord. Seek after my righteousness. And I will come to you. I will manifest.
Thank you, Father. Thy God bring thee to the place of breakthrough. For yea, I have prepared a place for thy church. And I say unto thee that thy church shall not fail, but thy church shall go forth. Yea, I call upon thee this day, my people, and I say unto you, come to the place of breakthrough and allow the Lord thy God to break off those chains and fetters. Cause the Lord thy God to break off the things that restrain thee.
Yes,
for I say unto you that I am a God that leadeth forth people to battle.
Yes, God.
And yea, that battle shall be won, because I am the host of the battle. Yea, I am the captain of the fight. And I say unto thee that my people and my church will stand behind me. Yea, will not I lead thee, and will not I guide thee? Will not I bring thee into seasons in thee? For I say unto thee that there is a winter time, but yea, there is a springtime.
Yes.
But yea, there is a summertime. But yea, there is a time of harvest. And I say unto you, my people, that the Lord thy God leadeth thee forth. And thou shalt come through the gate of breakthrough. And thou shalt reap the harvest that I have prepared.
Were you ready for the word this morning? Amen. I want you to turn in your Bibles. Go to Proverbs 4. We'll get there in a little bit. But our theme scripture for the year is out of 2 Corinthians 2:14, where it says, repeat with me, thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ. Now, we've talked for ever since January the 1st on the importance of this scripture in us, that God always leads us in triumph. And we've said out of that that in order for him to lead us, it implies that we are following. It also implies to us that God cannot lead us anywhere he is not. Now, those are crucial understandings, crucial revelations. It's changing how I look at a lot of things as I look at it. He cannot. If he's leading me, he cannot lead me to where he is not, because he's in front. And if I follow him, I'm going to end up where he is. Amen? That's crucial to understand that. If I wind up in a place where God isn't, I'm not following him. In other words, it's not God's fault. It's my fault that I'm not being obedient to where God is taking me, because I'd rather go by my own path or figure my own way out. And that only lasts for a short while. I did that for 19 years of my life until God got a hold of me and turned me around. When he turned me around, I started following him, and it changed my life drastically. Amen. 2 Corinthians 4:13, we ended up with this several weeks ago, and it says, and since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, I believed and therefore I spoke, we also believe and therefore speak. And we said this, and this is our launching point again for this morning. Faith cannot remain silent. Whether you like what you say or don't like what you say, your faith is being spoken all the time. Now, sometimes that's downright scary, because if you listen to the words out of your mouth, you realize I've got negative faith. I've got faith in all the bad stuff, but we're not to have that. We're to have the faith of God. The Old Testament says, I believe. David said, as I believed, therefore I spoke. I speak what I believe. And you can choose, listen, you can choose what you believe. It's not in your DNA. It's not in your upbringing. It's not in your life experiences. You can choose what you believe. So if you don't like what you're believing, if you don't like what's coming out of your mouth, choose to believe differently. Choose to have other things in your life and choose to speak out the things you want to happen, the God things in your life. Choose to speak those things into existence. Amen? In Matthew chapter 12, I'll just read it to you. Jesus said, either make the tree good and its fruit good, or else make the tree bad and its fruit bad, for a tree is known by its fruit. Brood of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? Now, we're going to come back to that. How can you, being evil, speak good things? See, if I am evil, I can only speak out of the evil. I can't speak good things. Say, well, sometimes the devil speaks good things, but it's always deception. He's always speaking partial truth to lead you into error, so you've got to be careful of that. Evil cannot bring forth good things. Now, Jesus goes on to say, for out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth evil things. Says again, in the first verse of verse 33, he says, make the tree bad, or its fruit, make the tree bad and its fruit bad, for a tree is known by its fruit. We have got to understand we speak out of the abundance of our heart. Now, this isn't a message on confession as much as it is what is in abundance in your heart. Yeah. I started out last week titling this Faith Speaks, and I've changed it to Out of the Abundance. It matters what is in abundance in your heart, because that is where you put your confidence in. And the good thing is, I can change what is in an abundance in my heart. Yeah. Now, let me use this example for you. Because a lot of us, we've been brought up negative. We've had life experiences that weren't the best. We've had all kinds of situations. We've had people tell you you're a failure and you're never going to amount to anything. All of us have had certain people speak these things into our life. And you might look at yourself and say, well, that's what I have in abundance. Nothing I've ever tried has succeeded. So this may be in abundance. But now listen to this. I believe, therefore I spoke. Just because that may be the majority of your experiences does not mean that that's what your heart holds in abundance. It's not a scale of where we have even this or even that. It's not where you balance it out of, I've got to have an equal amount. Your treasure is the truth you hold on to. Even though you may have more abundance of failure, you may have more abundance of sin in your life, that does not determine the abundance that you hold on to. If I only have a little bit of light and hang on to that little bit of light and speak out of that little bit of light, that is what I am holding in abundance. Are you understanding this? See, we think, well, all my life experiences have been negative. But that doesn't mean that is what you hold in abundance. You speak out of the treasure of your heart of what you hold to be valuable. If I hold life to be valuable, I will speak life. If I hold the negative to be more valuable than the positive, I will speak the negative out of my life. I believe, therefore I spoke. But we speak from the treasure. The treasure is the thing that you hold most valuable. Your experience or the Word of God. Yeah. Just pure and simple. Yeah, that's right. And you can have all kinds of negative experiences and say, but I choose to believe the Word of God. I choose to believe the Scripture. I choose, when everybody says I'm going to fail, I choose to believe God that all things are possible to him who believes. Amen. I can choose that. And once I make that choice, that is what is abundance in my heart. Therefore, I begin to speak out of that abundance. And everybody will come, yeah, but, yeah, but, yeah, but. Well, you need to kick the devil's butt. You need to kick us and just get rid of it. They say, yeah, but my God is greater. My God is able. My God is the more abundant God, and I'm going to value and treasure what God has given to me than any other thing. Can you see that? That's the treasure that we hold. I am being conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. I am being transformed from glory into glory into glory. See, that's the treasure I hold in my heart. You can bring up the mistakes of yesterday, and yeah, I made them. But that's not the treasure in my heart. The treasure in my heart is I'm being transformed. I'm growing in the stature of Jesus Christ. I am becoming more and more like Him in my thinking, in my living, in my behavior. I am becoming more and more like Jesus Christ, regardless of all the other stuff. Well, I was teasing this morning in Sunday school, but we're talking about all the things that Jesus did. And so many people look at Jesus and say, well, I could never do what Jesus did. And the common excuse that we use is, well, but Jesus was perfect. Jesus could do these things because he was without sin. And I raised the question, you know, that question, but Jesus could do it because he was without sin. And Debbie looked right back at me, says, and in Christ we are without sin. So now what's the excuse? The excuse is I haven't held what Jesus said about me as a treasure. So I'm speaking the negative stuff because I don't treasure the things that God has spoken to me because I'm free too. And the one verse that got me when I was young, when I was growing up, and my dad tried to explain it away, but it just stuck in me. It's like, there's got to be something to this. Jesus said, the man who spoke in red letters, okay, the Son of God, Jesus said, all things that I do, you will do also. Jesus has an expectation. We will do what Jesus did. Not use the excuse, well, Jesus was a perfect man. I mean, he knew the will of God. Well, you can too. You've got the mind of Christ.
Yes.
Amen?
Yes.
But Jesus didn't stop there. He said, you can do all things that I do, and you will do even greater works. Man, if we could just do a few of the things that Jesus did, we would have revival. I mean, you get one person healed in church. Woo! God was there today. Man, we're having revival. God just broke loose. When Jesus had a revival like that, he left a little bit disturbed. Said he couldn't do many mighty works because of their unbelief. Listen, his many mighty works would be an outbreak.
Yeah.
Amen. I mean, all he could do was open a few eyes of the blind, grow out a few limbs that have been amputated, make the lame walk a little bit, cast out pneumonia and cancer and all that. We would have revival. We would be shaking the rafters. I mean, we would be buying newspaper ads and everything else. And Jesus said, or the Bible says, Jesus could only do a few mighty works because of their unbelief. We have accepted the lack, and we speak the lack because we don't see the abundance of God. I believed, therefore I spoke. What do you believe? What do you choose to believe? All things are possible for him who believes, or nothing ever works for me. See, what you speak reveals the treasure of your heart. And the good thing is, we choose. It's our choice. It's not God. It's our choice. Because God has already moved. God has already acted. God has already forgiven you of all your sins. He's already cleansed you of all unrighteousness. Now we've got to walk in that reality. And that reality will transform your everyday existence because we're believing and speaking and doing. Amen? Okay, have you found Proverbs 4? Go to verse 20. And we finished up here last week, so I'm not going to review everything that we did. But we've got to get these truths on the inside of us because it will change us. And the typical question is, well, how could that be? That's just so far out there. Yeah, it is out there. It's called heaven. It's called the glory of God. This is what it is. These are things that as believers we ought to expect. I think a lot of times about, I think it was Peter and John walking down the street, and this guy, alms, money, I'm a beggar. And they look at each other, and I can just say, those that have been with us, you've heard this story before, but I just keep thinking, Peter and John are standing there looking at each other, and one of them winks at the other and says, watch this. And the guys, they look and said, we don't have any money. We can see the eyes of the beggar just Oh, bummer. You know? He said, we don't have any money, but what we do have, we'll give to you. And they catch him by the hand. It says they pull him up and say, in the name of Jesus, rise and walk. And God restored his legs. He didn't have any money, but they had the power of God. I don't think it was an accident. I mean, God. I believe God told them to do it for him, okay? God said, this is the one. But I can just say, watch this. Watch this. We're going to have fun with this. Everybody looking? He's like, we don't have any money. And just jerk them up. And it's like, I don't think they were surprised. And while everybody is celebrating, I can just see them, let's go away now. Just sneak off through the crowd. Wouldn't it be fun just go around and just heal people? And just sneak off? Just pull them up by the bootstraps? I mean, just set them free? Wouldn't that be exciting? Wouldn't that make church amazing if we would begin to walk at that level of faith? But can you imagine Jesus when the prayer line, I don't know if he had prayer lines or what. The Bible really doesn't tell us how he healed all the people, but however he did it. Can you imagine people, because they did come to him sometimes, can you imagine Jesus said, man, this is a tough one, I don't know. Can you imagine Jesus doing that? Oh, Father, you got to really help me out on this one, because this is a hard case. This man's been demon-possessed for years. This man's had a withered arm for who knows how long. Oh, God, this is going to be really hard. He looked around at the Pharisees in the one synagogue. Is it right for this man to be healed on the Sabbath or not? Well, it's a Sabbath. He can't do any work. To heal a man would be doing a physician's labor, so it would break the law to heal this man. Jesus didn't care. Didn't care about the opinion of men. And everybody just stood around just like, oh, we got to debate this. We got to have all the other group get together and take a vote as to whether we can heal on the Sabbath, because oh, this is really breaking barriers here. Jesus, I can just see him getting really ticked off at these guys. Stretch out your arm. I in my mind, this is how I hear it. Stretch out your arm. And as the guy did, it doesn't even say Jesus prayed for him. But he stretched out his arm, and as he did, the arm was made whole. And I just wonder if Jesus told him, stretch out your arm, and he went and sat down. You bunch of unbelievers. It was no big deal to Jesus. So we need to get that mindset out of what I believe I speak. I can do all things in Christ. Now, Proverbs 4, verse 20. He thought I forgot. It says, my son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to all their flesh. Keep your heart. Let me insert treasure. Keep your treasure with all diligence, for out of it springs the issues or the boundaries of life. The boundaries. Your boundaries are set by the treasure in your heart. If you value something, you'll go after it. You will pay the price to pursue it. Mike Murdoch said years ago, he said, pursuit is the proof of desire. So a lot of people say, well, I'd give anything if I could have that gift, if I could have that talent. Well, that'd be wonderful, but what you need to give is diligence. If you give the diligence, you'll develop. But if you won't give it diligence, you know, but we'd rather buy it. I'd give anything. I'd give money for it. Well, I would give it too. If I could just magically play the guitar or the piano or the saxophone or anything, man, how much money would that be worth? But to be quite honest, I don't want to put out the time and effort it's going to take to learn it. When I can slip in a CD of New Chapter and just listen to them, that's a lot easier for me. I'm sorry, but that's a lot easier for me. I admire people that can play, but quite frankly, I'm a couch potato. I want to slip in that CD and I just want to listen to the music. I don't want to put out what it takes. Well, what's a treasure in my heart? Relaxation. You know, let somebody else do all the work and all the effort of playing. Hey, I can spend $12 and buy it and just listen to it and enjoy. It's a lot easier for me to buy something than it is to develop it on my own. You understand what I'm saying? Well, out of this, because this is giving us the pattern of the entrance of God's word, ear, eye, heart, say. You've got to hear it. You got to put your attention on the things of God. You've got to keep it before your eyes. You got wherever you go, you got to keep that word in front of you. You got to keep the things of Christ in front. So everywhere you go, that's all you see is the word of God. You've got to keep that. That takes diligence to do that. And finally, I've got to keep it in my heart. I've got to hear it. I've got to keep it before my eyes. But I've got to treasure that in my heart. I can't just read it and then go out like I've never heard it before. I've got to put that as treasure in my heart. I can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens me. I've got to keep that in my heart. Because if I don't, the world is trying overly hard to convince me I can do nothing. And as Christians, we are in that tension. By myself, I can do nothing. But in Christ, I can do all things. I know what Gordon can do. I did it. You know, I got to the end of my rope. I got to a point where I couldn't go any further than that, and I was sinking fast. I was losing it. But God came into my life. So I know my limitations. But oh, the power of God. I'm still learning that. I'm still growing in what God can do. Because He will do more than I can think, ask, or imagine. So whatever I can imagine, God says, I can do more than that. Whatever I can think about, God is able to do more than that. Whatever I can think to ask, oh Lord, I don't know if I can ask you this. God said, I'll do more. I'll do more. We do not know the reality of God, of what God can do. I mean, how many of you are willing right now to tell someone with a withered arm, stretch it out and God will make it whole? Well, I've got to pray up for that. Okay. The conditions have got to be just right. Everyone's got to believe. Jesus walked into the unbelievers and did it. And when he was in a group of believers, I mean, how many times in the Bible? Everyone got healed. Everyone got healed. You can read it over and over. Everyone got healed. Everyone got delivered. They started bringing people to his house. You know, they broke through the roof and started luring people to just get them in the presence of God. And all the Pharisees are looking at, you know how much it's going to cost to repair that roof? My goodness, that's a big hole. That's got to be 4x8 anyway. I mean, one sheet of plywood isn't going to be enough because you're going to have to. That's what all the Pharisees are saying. Jesus looks at the guy and says, rise up and walk. Is it easier to say be healed? Or is it easier to say your sins are forgiven? Now that's a predicament. Because we would think it would be easier to say your sins are forgiven because nobody can see that. There's no obvious, tangible evidence that a person's sins have been forgiven. That's not how the Jews understood it. Because they had healers, they had physicians. They had a few miracles now and then. But Jesus didn't say that. He told the man, he says, your sins are forgiven you. And they got upset at that. Why? Why did they get upset that Jesus said, your sins are forgiven you? Now listen, because only God can forgive sins. And they knew when Jesus said, your sins are forgiven you, he is claiming to be God. Now what did he tell the disciples later on? It says, I give you power to forgive men's sins. The sins of the one you forgive, I'll forgive. The sins you don't forgive, I won't forgive. And we get upset. You believe in healing. We've got people, pastors, that don't believe in healing, but believe they can forgive the sins of other people. Kind of got it backwards. Forgiving sins is God-like. So is healing and raising the dead is God-like. We disassociate them. But they're doing the very thing that they say you can't do, because if you do, if you go around saying you have a healing ministry, if you go around casting out devils, you just think you're like God. Well, if you sprinkle some water on people and say your sins are forgiven you, you just think you're like God. And they're both right. Because we ought to start thinking we're just like God. Amen. Now this sounds real radical. Now think about this. Back up a little bit. Jesus said, if you believe, I will come and make my home in you. He said, I will send the Holy Ghost, and he will abide in you forever. And he said, and the Father will come and live in you. Now, how much more of God do we need? We've got the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit in us, but we don't have that treasure in our heart. We've heard, we've seen a little bit, but we haven't put the treasure in our heart. And out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Out of the abundance, not out of the little, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Now you know why, when you speak negatively, you're blaspheming the Holy Ghost, because you're saying God's not able. Now, we look at, well, I'm saying I'm not able, but God's in you. So we've got to renew our mind to these things. Amen. Now, in Proverbs 4:22, it says, for they, the words of God, they are life to those who find them and health to all their flesh. The word of God. If you go to Proverbs 4:23, it says, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it flow the issues of life. See, out of our heart, out of that treasure, out of that abundance, that flows the issues of life. We set our boundaries, we set our limitations, and we also tear down those things that limit us and hinder us, the jails that we all find ourselves trapped in. We tear all that down because we're setting our sights on the things of God rather than the things of men. Amen? Do you understand this? In Proverbs 15:18-19, it says, Jesus said, but those things which proceed out of the mouth come from the heart, and they defile a man, for out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witnesses, and blasphemies. Out of the heart. Out of the heart. Now, if I'll propose this to you. If out of the heart flow the things that ruin us, that defile us, then out of the heart flow the things that justify us. Because if we believe in Jesus, we're going to speak the things of Jesus. Have you goofed up lately? Yeah, because if you haven't, you're a liar, okay? Liars don't get into heaven, but in Christ, I'm made complete. In Christ, my sins are forgiven me. Even the one I thought of 5 minutes ago. You know, it's just like, oh, thank you, Lord, I'm free. Thank you, Lord, I'm free. Thank you. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things will be added. Well, we think about stuff, but we need to add the treasure in our heart. We need to add these things. I'm born again. I am free of sin. I am free of condemnation. If I make a mistake, I'll correct it. But I'm free of condemnation. And the thing that so easily entangles us is the condemnation when you goof up. But let me tell you something. You're going to goof up. Probably today. Probably about 80% when you leave the church, you'll goof up. Is that going to determine your life? No. Jesus Christ determines. See, if I goof up and realize it, oh, Lord, I didn't mean to do that. Okay, bing, forgiven. Hallelujah, free. Hallelujah, I'm righteous again with God. Hallelujah. It's like, but see, I'm coming to that point of where I'm not going to accept the condemnation. I'm going to make it right, but I am not going to walk in the condemnation of what I did, because that's not who I am. I'm not the guy always goofing up. I'm not the guy always sinning. I'm not the guy always failing. I am walking in Jesus Christ, and he always leads me in triumph. Always. So I'm going to stick close to Jesus. Now, if I told you, if you could get a hold of Donald Trump and follow him around, you'd be a millionaire in a week. How many of you would go and try to find Donald Trump? I'd say probably very few. But if you did, he said, What are you doing following me? I'm just following you, sir. This guy's weird. And after a while, say, I want to sit down and talk to you. You won't let go, will you? No, I'm not letting go. Okay, come and sit and talk with me. Pretty soon, you're in his inner circle because he's now talking to you because you wouldn't quit. We ought to be that way with Jesus Christ. I'm not quitting. I'm not quitting. Jesus, I got a hold of your coattail. Wherever you go, man, I'm not letting go. No. There's healing in his wings. I am not letting go. There is power. I am not letting go of Jesus Christ. I'm not going to walk in the condemnation that causes separation between me and the Father. I'm going to cling to Jesus with all I've got. Amen? I've got to. It's life. It's health to my flesh. Amen? Go to James chapter 3. Keep your place there in Proverbs 4 before you get totally out of that. But go to James chapter 3. This is really basic stuff, but we need to get this down in us. James chapter 3, verse starting in verse 2. He says, we all stumble in many things. If anyone does not stumble in word, he is a perfect man. If you can get everything right to come out of your mouth the way you want it to, you are a perfect, mature human being. I haven't met that person yet, and I am not he. Just to let you know, I am not he, okay? He says, if anyone does not stumble in word, he is a perfect man, able also to bridle the whole body. Indeed, we put bits in horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn their whole body. Look also at ships, although they are so large and are driven by fierce winds, they are turned by a very small rudder wherever the pilot desires. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. See how great a force a little fire kindles. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. Now listen, the tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature and is set on fire by hell itself. Now, it's interesting. He says, no man can tame the tongue. No man can tame it. So how do you tame this thing? It's not by willpower. It's not by your educational attainment. How do you tame the tongue? Because he says you can't do it. Verse 7 says, for every kind of beast and bird of reptile and creature of the sea is tamed and has been tamed by mankind. Verse 8, but no man can tame the tongue. It is an unruly, that means you cannot exercise authority over it, full of deadly poison. With it, we bless our God and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the similitude or the image of God. Out of the same mouth proceed blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be so. Does a spring send forth fresh water and bitter from the same opening? Can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olives or a grapevine bear figs? Thus no spring yields both salt water and fresh. How do you tame the tongue? Well, let me tell you, your tongue is controlled by the treasure in your heart. If you get the right treasure, your tongue will start being conformed to the treasure. Because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. We want to control the tongue. We want to try to tame it. I believe in confession. I'm going to confess the right things. If I confess the right thing, you can confess the right things until the cows come home. But if that's not the treasure in your heart, it will not produce anything. And then we go away. Well, I wonder what happened. What's the treasure in your heart? For it's what we treasure that we speak out. And when you speak that out, it's called faith. What we treasure, we speak out of our mouth. This is what I want to try to get across. We speak out of what fills your treasure house in abundance. And whatever you value, whatever you put as first place, will dominate your thinking, will dominate your words. Well, I just would like to do this. Well, what's the treasure of your heart? We need to get the right treasure in, don't we? We need to keep our ears, our eyes on the things of God. We need to treasure those things. You know, there's a song out that God is better than diamonds, better than silver, better than gold. Well, if we really believe that, we'd treasure it more, wouldn't we? We'd spend more time pursuing after God, because if we do those things, He will always lead me into triumph. He will always cause me to succeed. He will never allow me to fail. Now, that doesn't mean that you won't miss it now and then, but He won't let you fail. Fail is not missing it once or twice. Fail is the end. It's over with. You're never going to amount to nothing. He won't allow you to fail. So as long as we hold on to the right treasure, God will lead us into victory. Amen. It raises the whole question, what kind of a tree are you? See, if you're born again, you speak like your Heavenly Father, or you ought to. Remember Jesus with the Jews? He said, you speak of your father. Our father is Abraham. No, your father is the devil. He was a murderer from the beginning and the father of all lies. We are not the sons of the devil. Abraham is our father. He said, if Abraham were your father, you'd recognize me, because Abraham saw my day. How could Abraham see your day? He said, my father's God. You see, because they would not recognize Jesus. He said, if Abraham were your father, he saw my day and rejoiced in it. Here you are mad at me. Abraham saw my day. So I know Abraham's not your dad. But I'll tell you who it is. You want to kill me. So by the very fact that you want to kill me proves to me and reveals to me the devil's your father. Boy, religious folk don't like that kind of talk. I mean, I can give you all kinds of horror stories about churches and what they've done to pastors, or what pastors have done. I can tell you that. I can tell you about politicians that just want to destroy other politicians for the sheer joy of watching them collapse. Businessmen. And then we say, well, we don't want to believe in evil because you can't say someone's evil. Yeah, you can. If murder is their goal, their father is the devil. Well, what do we do about the terrorists? Their father is the devil. It's simple. It's not hard to figure out unless you're trying to be PC. But if you don't recognize evil, this is a deep one. If you cannot recognize evil, you can't recognize good either. Because the only way you know what's evil is because you know what's good. The world has no concept of evil. Why? Because they don't know what's good. They've rejected good, so now evil, they're calling evil good and good evil. So, well, how can you judge us? Well, how can you say I'm judging you unless you say that you have the right to judge me? But they're upset at me judging somebody else when they're judging me. Before you take the speck out of your brother's eye, get the beam out of your own. If you're going to sit in judgment, don't accuse other people of being wrong if they're sitting in judgment, because you're sitting in judgment. Jesus didn't say don't judge. He says don't judge, if you judge, you will be judged by the same measure that you judge others with. He didn't say don't judge. We're to judge fruit. But He just warned us, if you go around judging other people, you're going to be judged by the same thing. Hallelujah. Go back to Proverbs 4. See, if God is your father, the nature of God dwells in you. Amen. Yes. Proverbs 4, verse 24. We stopped at 23, but in verse 24 it says, put away from you a deceitful mouth, put perverse lips far from you. Let your eyes look straight ahead and your eyelids look right before you. Ponder the path of your feet, and let all your ways be established. Do not turn to the right or to the left. Remove your foot from evil. Now, there's a TV advertisement that says, put away a dirty mouth. You know, have you heard that one? Put away a dirty mouth. We think Jesus, or so many people think that Jesus is talking about cussing here when He says, put away a dirty mouth. He's not talking about cussing. James tells us, out of the same mouth proceed blessings and cursings. My brethren, it should not be so. A spring cannot put forth sweet and salty water. The dirty mouth is cursing instead of blessing. It's cursing. It's putting a curse on someone. You'll never amount to anything. Not in Jesus' name. I refuse to accept that. Yeah. It's like we need to get that way. But we're to bless people, to encourage them. The minister of a prophet is to edify, build up, and comfort. And so many people think that I'm a prophet because they've got a negative personality. And they think if I tell everybody they're false, that makes me a prophet. Can I have my turn? If we're going to get into everybody is false, you know, and you think that makes you a prophet, let me talk to you a little bit. When we start pointing out your faults, then I must be a prophet. Now, all you need is a critical attitude to point out other people's faults. You don't have to be a mystic, let me tell you. If you want practice, look in the mirror. Just start pointing out all your wrinkles, all your moles, all your knots. Just start pointing that out. It's like, boy, you must be a prophet because you're really perceptive. No, that doesn't take any skill at all. Matter of fact, I can probably sit around after I know you a little while and I can make up stuff on you. It could be fun for me, but that's not a minister of a prophet, is it? To find the negative. So put away from us a dirty mouth. Stop cursing everything. Start being a blessing to those that you are with. See, we need to, again in Proverbs 4, it says we need to keep our eyes straight ahead. Hebrews 12 tells us, lay aside every weight, the sin that so easily surrounds us and ensnares us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Now think about Jesus on the cross. Jesus, in my understanding, could have, should have cursed the soldiers that crucified him. If it was me up there, a pox be on you all. May you die of the most vicious plague that ever came, because you have denied the Son of God and you are crucifying him. Jesus didn't say that at all, did he? He spoke out of the abundance of his heart. Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Because if they really had understanding, they wouldn't do this. Jesus, the very people nailing him to the cross, the very people that beat him, the very people that accused him, the scribes and the Pharisees, and the people that were spitting on Jesus and railing against him, Jesus said, Father, forgive them. Now, why did he do that? Because it's the character of God. It wasn't that Jesus is, oh, he's such a gentle soul. No, it's the character of God, because he is God. And he speaks out of the abundance of his heart. And instead of cursing, instead of railing against him like I would, he said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Like, man, this is a good time to get even. I want to be like Elijah and call fire from heaven. I want to see some flesh burn. I want to get my revenge. I want to see it with my own eyes. Father, forgive them. For they know not what they do. See, we need to ponder the path of our feet. What road are you on? What direction are you headed? Are you headed up to the mountain or down to the valley of hopelessness and depression? Is your life rising up to the level of Christ or going the way of the world? Which path are you on? Ponder the path. He goes in on to say, let all your ways, in verse 25, let all your ways be established. Jesus said, seek the first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. He didn't say might be, he said they will be. If you put first things first, if you put the right treasure in your heart, all the things that we need, all the things we desire, all the things we lust after, God will give it to you because you put him first place. Out of the abundance of who God is, he will bless you. This is the character of God. When I came to Jesus, I'm glad I didn't get what I deserved. Did you catch that? He gave me grace. He showed mercy to me. Boy, when I first got saved, people said a bad thing to me. It's just like, God, get him. I did. Somebody, I wouldn't say anything to their face. They'd walk away and, God, get them, fry them, burn them up, let fire fall from heaven. I didn't know who I was. I was hurt, I was angry, and if people didn't recognize my greatness, my glory, they deserved to die. That's what I thought. Go get them, God. I was going to have fun sitting in my dorm room watching them get burned as they walk by that, you know, it's like, he didn't do that. Nothing I ever said in those days ever came to pass. See, God knew that I didn't know what I was doing. He showed mercy on me by not letting my words And he slowly worked and changed my heart. Worked my heart to fall in love with people. People are ugly things, aren't they? They're messy. They cry a lot. They do all kinds of things that upset you. And just when you're really ready to get even, the words of Jesus come floating back, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And I'm so grateful he says that over me. "Father, forgive Gordon," because he doesn't know what he doesn't have a clue. And all I can say is, "Thank you, Lord, for your mercy." But it's the abundance of God. That's who he is. People say, "Well, how could God judge the world?" Because he's a God of justice. Because someday every account will be due. And someday we will receive exactly what you deserve. Praise God, we're saved by grace. Praise God, he is merciful to us. See, we need to seek the light. If you want to get rid of the darkness in your life, you need to seek the light of God. Because when you turn on the light, the darkness vanishes. We've talked about that. But when you turn on the light of God, the darkness goes away. You don't get rid of the darkness by cursing at it. You don't get rid of the darkness by yelling at it. You don't get rid of the darkness by saying how unfair it is. You get rid of darkness by turning on the light, and the light is Jesus in us. Christ, the hope of glory. In Proverbs 18:21, it says, "Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit." You will eat, you will receive what you've spoken. Proverbs 4:26-27 says, "Let all your ways be established. Do not turn from the right or the left. Remove your foot from evil." In Matthew 7, Jesus said, "Enter by the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And there are many who go in by it, because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life. And there are few who find it." We can go the broad way. Hey, I'm going to heaven. That's all I need to worry about. Or we can seek to live in the righteousness that God has given to us. It's a narrow path. Not everybody makes it. That concerns me, because that gets into a lot of questions I don't have answered yet. But I know if I seek after God, I don't have to worry. I know if I put him in treasure in my heart, I don't have to worry about the judgment. I don't have to worry about whether the gate's narrow or wide, because it's going to be wide enough for me to walk into, even though it's narrow for a lot of people, because they won't accept Jesus. They won't accept what Christ has done for them. See, they think they can get in by their own good works. They think they can get in by their own skill, by their talent, by their gifting. It's like, that's not why you get into heaven. There's only one way to get to the Father, and that's through Jesus Christ. He's got to be the treasure of our heart, or it's all for naught. We need to get God in abundance in us, the same way that God has an abundance of love for us. We need to be transformed to his glory, to his image. And we need to let that become such a treasure on the inside of us that we can't help but say the things of God. You know, I was planning to go in one direction from this series, and I'll just close with this. I was thinking about doing the 5 basic confessions of faith. And God's leading me in the last 2 weeks, leading me in a different direction, showing me some other things. But let me give you the first confession we need to hold on to above every other confessions. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. See, when you face situations, you need to have that in a treasure in your heart. The Lord's my shepherd. And I'm going to follow him. And if I follow him, he always leads me in triumph in Christ Jesus. Always, always. The Lord is my shepherd. He knows the way. I don't. I can't figure it out. But the Lord knows the way. If I stay close to him, his abundance will just flow off onto me. It's like the woman with the issue of blood. She came and she grabbed the hem of Jesus' garment. For she said, "If I but touch the hem of his garment, I shall be healed." I mean, nobody was praying. It wasn't even a church service. Just walking down the street, going to Papa John's for some pizza. And this little old lady comes up to him in the crowd and just reaches out and grabs hold the hem of his garment. It stopped God. Jesus stopped. "Who touched me?" The disciples, What are you talking about? Man, the people are all around us. We're all bumping into each other. It's a crowd, you know? No, someone touched me. Who touched me? He's looking around. Who touched me? And he wanted the woman to go public because this can't be a private thing. And she says, it was me. Jesus said, by your faith, you've been healed. All because she was willing to go where other people wouldn't. How many people in that crowd had the thought come to them, if I just touch Jesus, not just shake hands with him, if I can make contact with Jesus, I could be made whole. How many didn't act on it? How many times have you been in prayer service and there's been an altar call? You think, I'll take care of it when I get home. Delay, delay, delay. I'll get to it sooner or later. What if the time's now? What if it's right now? I'm going to have you stand up. If you want prayer this morning, I want you to come forward. It might be your time. This might be the day. This could be it. We want to pray for you. Anybody for any need at all, just to come forward. We're going to lay hands. We're going to pray. I mean, we're believing God's going to touch our lives. Amen. We're believing God's going to set us free. We're believing in God because his mercy is abundant in our heart. Amen. You have tried and tried and tried. You've done everything you know how to do, and you say it still hasn't happened. That's because you've been doing it by your strength. I'm going to put you in a place of rest, says the Lord, where you're going to cease from your own labors, and I'm going to just begin to do things for you, and you're going to sit there and go, wow, this was so easy. Wow, this is so nice, so pleasant. Because it's not your labor, says the Lord, it's my work in you. Hodakasada, in Jesus' name. Father, let that anointing flow through her. Father, we just pray for that rest of God to be upon her in the name of Jesus. A peace that passes understanding, Father, that fills her with a power of God to enable her to do all the things that she can't do by herself. Lord, we receive that peace. We receive your strength in us, Father, in Jesus' name. Praise you, Father. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Father. You know, there's a rest in God. There's a rest in him. And if we can just find out how to get into it, it's a rest in which there's no labor. Now, there's work, but there's no labor. Understand the difference. Mm-hmm. Labor is I'm striving. But rest is just, Lord, I'm just in you. Mm-hmm. And it begins to flow naturally. Mm-hmm. We don't have to work it. It's just part of who we are. Mm-hmm. Like God doesn't have to work up mercy. He is mercy. He doesn't have to work up healing and deliverance because he is those things. He is our Redeemer. Amen. Oh, la bahasade. You need a question. It's just physical.
Yeah, I want my ears fixed.
Okay, Father, Jesus. Ho kasede kana. Father, in the name of Jesus, I speak to Debbie's ears. I command them to open up. I command all sound that is not right to be gone from her ears in the name of Jesus. I speak to that noise, background noise, in the name of Jesus. Come out! In Jesus' name. Be made whole in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah, God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Praise you, Father. Praise you, Father. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for Art's healing. Father, I thank you for his faith. Lord, that he has seen the day when he'll dance with us. Lord, we give you praise for that. We thank you, Lord, that he is healed from the bottom of his feet to the top of his head. We break every bondage, every limitation in the name of Jesus Christ, and we command arthritis to come out of him, and we speak creative power into all of his joints, into all of his tissues, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen and amen and amen. Hallelujah. Father, we pray for ourselves, Lord. Lord, that we would become more acutely aware of who you are in us. Lord, that we could trust ourselves more and more to you to let your gifts, your anointings to flow out of us. Father, we believe that we are children of God. We are born again, filled with the Spirit, moving in the realms of glory. And Father, we thank you that you will remove every obstacle, everything that blocks us from what you have for us, because we're going to follow you. We're going to follow you. And you know where the way is. And we will be obedient to you. So Father, we praise you. We thank you now, Father, for liberty. Liberty, Father, to believe you and to follow after you and to be in you in Jesus' mighty name. And everyone said, amen, which is not the end, it's I believe. Hallelujah. God bless you.